96.0 CMB Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Alabama can go forward with the country's first execution by nitrogen gas. The state claims it's humane, but critics call it cruel and experimental. Kenneth Smith was convicted in the 1988 murder-for-hire killing of Elizabeth Sennett, according to her son Mike.
If it's successful, it'll bring closure for us. We maybe can put it behind us.
This is Alabama's second attempt to execute the 58-year-old. Boeing pauses production at the Seattle area location where it makes 737 aircraft as it tries to deal with the fallout from a door plug blowout.
I'm Sam Campbell outside the Boeing facility in Renton. Inside, workers are not touching the airplanes. Instead, they're in for a day of mandatory safety meetings. Mike Dunlop leads NetInspect, a company providing quality control software to the aerospace industry. He has a history of working alongside Boeing.
Go over all their procedures. How did it happen? What corrective actions have to be put in place?
When approached, Boeing employees tell Cairo News Radio they are not allowed to speak to the press.
In the U.S. Senate, negotiations over a border and foreign aid package hit a bump due to GOP divisions and concern about a push by former President Trump to derail the deal. CBS's Scott McFarland reports Democrats like John Fetterman say honoring the commitment to Ukraine is key.
Hanging in the balance, emergency money to help Ukraine replenish its weapons and equipment, as the Biden administration says the Pentagon has run out of money for Ukraine.
We have the Ukrainian aid. It's vulgar and evil that anyone would turn our backs now on Ukraine right now.
But that's also facing resistance from some Trump allies.
Is there a risk the Ukraine money falls apart too? That the Ukraine component also gets killed?
Oh, here? I hope so, because I don't like that either.
That's Missouri Republican Josh Hawley. Former President Trump testifies for less than 3 minutes at the New York defamation trial of writer E. Jean Carroll. She says Trump ruined her reputation after she accused him of sexually abusing her in the mid-1990s. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Mr. Trump said he did not instruct anyone to harm Ms. Carroll, but other comments he made from the witness stand were struck from the record. Judge Kaplan placing strict limitations on what lawyers could ask and what the jury can hear based on the previous Carroll civil suit in which another New York jury found Trump liable of sexual abuse and defamation.
Even with inflation, the nation's economy grew at a brisk 3.1% annual pace in 2023, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
The U.S. has seen a particularly strong GDP recovery, and inflation has cooled sooner and more quickly than in other large advanced economies.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
WRJN.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Thursday pledging $1 billion to replace Superior's critical but aging John Blatnik Bridge to Duluth, where he noted the U.S. infrastructure has fallen to number 13 in the world.
How in God's name can we have the strongest economy in the world if we don't have the strongest and best infrastructure in the world? It's not possible. So we're determined to turn that around. We were determined to turn that around in a big way.
It's part of the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law that's paying for road and bridge repairs nationwide. Wisconsin's projected budget surplus is getting smaller, $3.25 billion now, instead of the previously forecasted $4 billion. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says it's due to a drop in projected growth in tax collections and the deal for more money for the universities of Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks held a press conference. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 126-116 at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee now 31-13. General Manager John Horst asks, why would you hire a first-time head coach like Adrian Griffin and fire him just halfway through the season?
Yeah, someone really wise once said looking back is ego, so I'm going to stay in the present. There's no regrets. I believe in the hire that we made. I believe in the reasons we did it, the process that we went through. And again, Adrian has contributed to this group. Part of why we are where we are today, who we are, is because of him. this was an opportunity about going forward.
Bucks host the Cavaliers again tomorrow night. College basketball, Marquette with a win in Chicago, 86-73 over DePaul. Wisconsin getting ready to host Michigan State tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers signing a place kicker, Jack Podlensky, who kicked for the Georgia Bulldogs for three seasons. And Jim Harbaugh, who led the Michigan Wolverines to a national championship, is leaving for L.A. as the new head coach of the Chargers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A dense fog advisory continues for visibilities under a mile. Cloudy and foggy tonight with areas of rain and lows in the mid-30s. More drizzle, fog, some showers tomorrow, more clouds and highs in the upper 30s. And staying in the upper 30s and mostly cloudy this weekend. Currently it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this beautiful night in the state of Wisconsin. Temperatures are climbing. Global warming is in full effect. But let's just enjoy it while it lasts. Because it realistically, it could be 10 degrees tomorrow. Or 10 below, for that matter. My name is Pete Schwabba. I'm the host of Nightlight. And it is great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Just so much to talk about. As usual, as per usual, if I want to sound ultra important and corporate, we'll get to some really fun stuff tonight. Conrad is ready to take your texts and calls. Is that right, Conrad?
Oh, I'm ready.
You are always ready, buddy.
I am ready.
I appreciate that. So fire away. We have big news tonight, don't we? Because we have a new phone number.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I got to go. I went through this last night and I had trouble spitting it out. It's 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And if you want to get like all radio-y, which we should, because that's what this is, it's 844-96-PARTY. That is easier to remember. You can also always text on the Civic Media app. That stays the same. But it is Thursday, January 25th. I cannot believe January is almost over. And it's actually kind of warm out today. I wouldn't be surprised if it like hit 40. I kind of like this weather. I don't have a problem. I'm not like really a outdoorsy winter guy, so I'm digging it. But hope you had a great day. We're gonna talk about some things that should make everybody kind of chill, relax. We're gonna talk. I got some great guests tonight. Mike Clemens is gonna join us at 8:30 to talk sports, obviously. Some Bucks and Packers. We'll talk to Mike. And then at 9 o'clock, I'm excited for this next guest, Tim Sowers is his name. He has a really fancy title that escapes me at the moment. Doesn't escape me. I have it right here. He's the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about what the Overture Center has coming up in Madison. Such a beautiful facility right there on State Street. Right across from the Civic Media offices, actually, in Madison. So we'll talk to Tim at 9 o'clock. And then Heather Heil, a girl with her finger on the pulse of Green Bay. She's going to join me at 9:30 to help me close out the show. And this show is statewide. So we got Madison covered. We got Green Bay. And Conrad's here.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. And Mike Clemens is kind of all over the state. He's like the guy. He's like just like Mike. His nickname, I think, okay, I've just decided what Mike's career is lacking, a nickname. We should start calling him Mike Sports Clemens. Is that too obvious, Conrad?
I think it might be. We might even come up with something more catchy.
Something more catchy, okay. Challenge accepted. We'll figure this out as the show goes on. But we'll welcome Mike in a few minutes. And our question tonight, this is a good one. And I've given this a lot of thought over the years because I love half-hour sitcoms. The classic ones, whether it's Cheers or we talked about Happy Days ad nauseum a couple weeks ago. Friends, Modern Family. Our question tonight to you, the listener, what sitcom do you want to live in? What world do you want to, like, when you watch that show, what just makes you, what show do you just want to crawl into and be part of the aesthetic or the ether and hang out with those characters or in that setting? What sitcom do you want to live in? That's our question tonight. And you can let us know on our brand new phone number. This is very exciting. 844. Can you feel the excitement? 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Last night, Conrad, did you listen to the show last night?
I was in and out. I was at the Bucks game last night, so I couldn't really hear my phone or anything, but...
You were kind of giving us live updates, which I appreciated. Luke Mathers was producing the show, and your updates kind of cracked me up. They made me think of that person who, like, goes on social media and will just do a Facebook post like, hey, what time does the big game start? Like, why would you put that on Facebook? Just Google it. But I loved that you still felt part of the show. You texted in some updates, and the Bucks won, right? You got to see the win.
Yeah, the Bucks won.
How long did you have that on the books? How long were you planning that night?
Oh, I actually got that as a Christmas gift from my brother-in-law. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you got to see him win. So what are they now with the new coach? What's their record now with the new coach?
I believe 34-13. But no, actually, Doc Rivers wasn't there last night.
So this is the interim coach?
Yeah.
Okay. So I could have done that.
Well, with Giannis out there, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We joked a few weeks ago that you and I could both become midwives. And, I'm not saying it's the same as being an interim coach, but with Doc Rivers on the next flight. So that coach is 1-0.
Well, the interim, he's 1-0 until Doc Rivers gets there. And then so he just has a winning record forever now.
They could still fire him. I'm just saying the Bucks are tough. You got to really prove yourself. So there's some fun birthdays today, too, in the world of show business. And this one, I love this one. Pauline Chalamet. Do you know who the actor is? Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah.
Conrad?
Okay, yeah.
So this is Timothy's sister.
Oh, okay.
And she looks just like Timothy. Literally, if they were walking down the street, you'd go, wow, they're hot. I'm not sure which one. They look that similar. They look like the same person with different hair. You got a girlfriend, Conrad?
I don't know.
All right. Well, see, you should be listening to this one. All right. So it is Pauline Chalamet turns 37 today. It's Robert Burns' birthday, the poem. My love is like a red, red rose. Robert Burns had a really interesting life. He was a poet. He got his mom's, basically his nanny or someone pregnant, and they had a child together when he was young. Then he married a woman, and they had 9 kids. And he died at 37. So as Robert Burns, the famous poet, my love is like a red, red rose. Beautiful poem. Check it out. Etta James, it's her birthday today. She died at 73 in 2012. And we got another big birthday. You got some music lined up for us, K-Man?
I do.
Yeah. Lay it on us. Let's see if people can. That's right. Alicia Keys turns 43 today. She's made a mark on the pop culture. And... girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. It's a great song.
Are you going to sing along?
Well, you know what? I don't know the words to This Girl Is On Fire.
Oh, well, I think you got it right there.
No, that's a great song. I like when, like, I used to hate it when artists sold their music to commercials, and I don't even remember what This Girl Is On Fire. What was that an ad for? Let's look that up. But I don't, it used to bother me. Like I felt like there were sellouts. And then I heard an interview with Bob Seger, who sold his song Like a Rock to, was it Chevy or Ford? One of the two. And he was questioned about it. Like, I think it was on CBS this morning. He said, what do you say to people that, you know, might give you a hard time because you sold your song, you know, kind of indicating that he might've been a sellout. And Bob Seger looked at him and he said, you know what? I sold that song because it sold a lot of trucks and it kept a lot of people employed. And honest to God, that one answer made me do a, first of all, I'm not, what do I know? Nobody's ever asked for a song that I wrote to be in a commercial. And I think they should, but they haven't. But I thought it was a great answer. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well done, Bob Seger. But I can't find, what was it? I felt like it was an Apple commercial. Do you remember, Conrad?
I am not sure.
Got to go to the Google. Yeah, who cares? It's a good song. And she turns what, 43, did we say?
Yeah, 43 today.
43 today. We should try to get her on the show. You ready to take a memo?
Wait, I still didn't buy a new notebook yet, so.
Oh, no.
I'm totally out of space.
Other memos are going to. Did Todd leave?
Yeah, he just left.
Okay, he walked in, and I walked in tonight. I'm sorry I missed him because I wanted to ask him about this. He said, you seem out of sorts today. And that was incredible because I am totally out of sorts today. It was one of those days where, like, my son took the car to catch a train to go to Ann Arbor to see his cousin. My key was in there. My parking stuff was in there. Just everything. And then I had to take the other car. I had to take my wife's car, which is a big old SUV, huge. And my wife puts like $5 of gas at a time in it. So it always needs gas. And that's my thing. I'm like, honey, you know, once you're already filling it up, just let it go. She just gets impatient or whatever. So I had to go back, get the remote for the garage for where I park. I had to get gas. It was one thing after another. And I know there are starving people in the world. I don't mean to belittle anybody else's problems. But my point is Todd Michaels was spot on. I was way off today.
Hey, Pete. Actually, yeah. Todd is on the line right now if you want to talk to him.
Oh, this is perfect. You know what? Put him through. Take a memo. Put Todd through.
He's here.
Todd, are you here?
I am.
So what? I'm really impressed because, you know, like I think I told you earlier, I have a routine on days when I do the show, and I'm totally out of it today. And the minute I walked in the door, you sensed that. What is your deal, man?
Well, first of all, I have superpowers that I can't explain to you, or that would have to end a lot of things. But you walked in, and the minute you walked in the door, there was this huge...
Oh, man.
There was this huge sigh.
I didn't have my key usually, on me. Yeah, that's weird.
Usually you've got a smile on your face to, you know, when you see me, obviously I brighten up a room.
Yeah.
But you were not that tonight. You just looked like exasperated is all I can say.
And you're a producer. You produced the Mino and the Mayor show every morning in the studio.
Yeah.
You get this stuff. So when I walked in and you said that, I was like, this is weird. But you were spot on.
Yeah,
so.
Well, part of my job in the morning is to assess how the guys are, right? I have to figure out what kind of mood they're in because we don't have a lot of time to get them, you know, pumped up and ready for a show at 6 a.m. So I have to read their vibe as soon as they walk in the door, and I was able to do that with you tonight.
Dude, I get it. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Todd. Drive safely.
Be good.
Bye. All right, that's Todd Michaels. The clairvoyant Todd Michaels, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. I've got a lot more stuff coming up in just a minute. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight, as I just said. See, I'm off today on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Meggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
I'm not myself today. I am alternate Pete Schwabba hosting Nightlight tonight. The real Pete Schwabba is not himself, as Todd Michaels just informed us, and I'm going to take his word for it because he's a pretty smart guy. So alternate Pete Schwabba with you tonight here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. We got one text. Our question tonight is, what sitcom would you want to live in? You know what that's like, right? Like, you want to be in the Friends coffee shop, the Cheers bar, the Modern Family home, King of Queens. You want to live, in that house with them or be their neighbor? What sitcom do you want to live in? We got our first text of the night. Golden Girls from the 920, a new texter. Great to have you with us, new texter. Golden Girls is a good one. Bunch of sassy women hanging around, not letting anybody get away with anything. That had a cool vibe to it. That show was just kind of, first of all, I love sarcastic people. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I love being around sarcastic people. Not people that say anything hurtful or have meanness behind them, but just that are witty and sharp and can not let you get away with anything. And the Golden Girls were certainly that. So that's from the 920. So we always love getting your texts. As I mentioned many nights, you can always text us what you're watching, comment about the show, and be part of the discussion. That's what we do here, and we like that. So, Conrad, I told you I'm a mess today. So I think what we should do, last night we talked about Ed Helms. It's Ed Helms' birthday, or it was Ed Helms' birthday yesterday. He's a star of The Office and the movie The Hangover. And Ed Helms is hilarious. But sometimes I talk to people who don't like uncomfortable comedy and they cannot stand Ed Helms. And that's just the characters he plays. And he is brilliant at it. But it's so funny when I meet people that they're like, oh, I don't like The Office. It's so, there's so much tension. And it's true. And it's not for everybody. I happen to love it. So we have two Ed Helms clips that we did not get to last night. So we're going to extend our celebration of Ed Helms' birthday by one day, since I'm not myself anyway. Conrad, do you feel like Conrad tonight?
I think so.
Pretty normal night?
I think so. I had the day off yesterday, so I got to, you know, recuperate, you know?
Recharge your battery at the yeah. Pfizer. Let's play. Okay, so this is one of the most awkward scenes possibly in TV half hour history, and it's an episode of The Office called The Dinner Party. And Michael and Jan, Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, and his live-in girlfriend Jan, there is nothing but tension between them all the time. They basically sucker these people into coming over for a dinner party. And when they get there, they find out dinner is like 4 hours away. So there's this like palpable tension the entire time they're waiting for dinner, and they have this horribly awkward game of charades, which starts off with Ed Helms. Just a great clip. Go ahead, Conrad.
Like, I think Dinner Party is probably the one of the all-time greatest.
Small TV.
Yeah, that's the one. We're going to play that next. That's Ed Helms talking to Dan Patrick about that episode. That's how great that episode was. But let's play the Dinner Party clip.
There's the hump.
Joe Camel.
Yes. Okay, yes. First name of that animal, and the second name is the state where Helena is the capital.
Montana.
Oh!
Joe Montana?
Yes!
Oh! Yes. Time.
All right, two pieces.
Why didn't you just say 49ers quarterback?
All right, my turn. My turn. My turn.
Babe,
can you just like really? Whoa, we're just like really.
What?
Can you just simmer down?
No,
seriously.
I'm just making people laugh. Well, yes, I was watching Jim's face.
I was watching Jim.
And he was laughing.
No, look, he's smile.
Look at him. He's laughing.
Michael and Jan seem to be playing their own separate game, and it's called Let's See How Uncomfortable We Can Make Our Guests. And they're both winning, so I am going to make a run for it. You'll never guess, I just got a message from my landlord. Apparently my apartment flooded. Something with the sprinkler.
Oh, no!
Pam, we should probably get going and see the damage.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't need two of you to do that.
That's true. Dinner sounded delicious. Pam, I'll see you at home. Thank you so much.
Oh, Jim, I don't think you're going to abandon this party here all by itself.
I don't know, because everything I own is there.
You can buy new stuff, but you can't buy a new party.
That's true. That is a great point. Come on down here. Sit down on that couch. Be amongst friends, and we are not going to think about all your stuff being destroyed, all right?
Michael, you're up.
All right, here we go. This is going to be fun. Ready?
Go.
All right. First name is Tom.
No names. No names. No rhyming. All right. No sound alike. Right.
Okay. You're getting into my head. First name is blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
I don't know.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah! But he's married to her.
Oh, Dawson's Creek.
No. It has to be a real person, Jim. Come on. Okay. No. I'm gonna pass. Okay. Rhymes with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No rhyming.
That's
really
not
a rhyme.
Okay,
another clue.
Okay, he's the governor of California. He is the Terminator.
Those aren't helpful.
Tom Cruise.
No!
Tom!
If you have not seen the dinner party episode of The Office, watch it now. It is, if you like awkward humor, it's just, and then Michael reveals to the party that he finally broke down on and bought a plasma TV with it's on the wall. It's got like a 9-inch screen. It's so, so brilliant. And that's Ed Helms, whose birthday it was yesterday. Do we have time for that other Ed Helms clip, Conrad?
Yeah, we do.
Let's play that. This is Ed Helms talking about that episode and being on The Office on the Dan Patrick Show.
I think Dinner Party is probably one of the all-time greatest.
Small TV.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That little plasma screen and just the tension. You can cut it with a knife. It was also one of the most fun episodes to shoot. Lots of fond memories.
How hard was it to keep a straight face with
on The Office?
Yeah,
I was a disaster of just breaking all the time. Steve Carell just slays me. There's something in his eyes. I don't know. I had to, a lot of times if I was doing a scene with Steve, I would have to look at his chin because I couldn't look him in the eyes. It was just, I would lose it. There's an episode where he plays Santa and or he's like, you know, being an office Santa. And I think Phyllis or Kevin is sitting in his lap and he's so awful about it. Because it's uncomfortable for him, and he's just being really rude and weird and mean about it. And I had to duck behind a plant. You can see in the actual episode in the background. And by the way, that was like take 30 because I had been laughing in every single take. He's a genius. There's so much funny memories on that.
Yeah, it was great.
So, I mean. That's one of the shows. Our question of the night is, what sitcom would you want to live in? And I've never really worked an office job, but I think it would be, for me anyway, that's a place I'd want to spend a long weekend. I don't know if I'd want to live there. But let us know what you think. What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. 844-967-2789. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We will be right back with Mike Clemens.
You're listening. listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
CBS News Brief. Alabama gets the go-ahead from the U.S. Supreme Court to proceed with a first-in-the-nation execution method, nitrogen gas. Pastor Jeff Hood is convicted killer Eugene Smith's spiritual advisor.
This execution team has botched 3 executions in recent years. So we're talking about the most incompetent execution squad in our country.
Grounded Boeing jets are coming back starting tomorrow. The head of the FAA says he's confident the 737 MAX 9 jets are safe as long as airlines follow new inspection procedures. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.
171 in the U.S. are grounded and require these inspections to go back into service. Once the inspections are completed, those planes are good to fly.
Former President Trump was briefly on the witness stand in a New York courtroom today in the defamation damages trial involving writer E. Jean Carroll. CBS's Errol Barnett.
His lawyer asked him if he stands by what he said in the deposition video. He says he does.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers promises to veto a redistricting bill making its way through the legislature. Republicans are touting the bill as 99% of what Evers asked for in a MAP proposal in 2021. But Evers says changes made to the proposal still amount to gerrymandering. The state Supreme Court will enact a redistricting plan this spring if lawmakers and the governor don't do it first. The State Department of Natural Resources Fish and Wildlife Fund is approaching a budget deficit of almost $16 million by 2026. That fund helps to employ around 500 people. DNR officials say that fewer and fewer people are buying hunting licenses. They've floated a number of ways to address the deficit, including taking a closer look at how many people they employ and relying more on federal funding. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almost Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
WRJN.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A dense fog advisory continues for visibilities under a mile. Cloudy and foggy tonight with areas of rain and lows in the mid-30s. More drizzle, fog, some showers tomorrow, more clouds and highs in the upper 30s. And staying in the upper 30s and mostly cloudy this weekend. Currently it's 37.
The Todd Almost Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Welcome back.
Great to have you with me here at Nightlight on a Thursday night. I am alternate Pete Schwabe because I am not myself today. So great to have you here. Our question tonight, what sitcom do you want to live in? If you could live in a sitcom, your favorites, if you like that world, what sitcom would you like want to crawl into and live in? That is tonight's question. So please weigh in if you so choose. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison joins me to talk about their upcoming lineup of shows, which are always incredible. Such a great facility. But joining me right now via the telephone is sports guru, just all-around sports guy, Mike Clemens. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing better now. I always like when you're on the show. It's great to have you.
The answer is the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Boy, I did not see that coming, Mike. So what? Okay, so let's say you're in the Larry Sanders Show, which is brilliant. What component of that show would you want to be? I assume you mean just Mike Clemens, but...
Rip Torn, what was the name of the producer?
Yeah, Artie.
I'm Artie.
I can see that. Okay. I always liked the writer's room. I always thought Jeremy Piven and I think the other writer's name, I think, was Wallace Langham. They always.
Yeah, but just like a sitcom, or rather just like a talk show like that, you know, you got about an 18-month window to have a job there.
So. That's true. No, you listen, you have much better job security as fake Artie than I would as fake writers. Yeah. But I just like how they used to torment Hank. That was always fun. So great answer. So how's it going, Mike? How's everything else going?
Well, you know, as long as the Packers and the Bucks stop firing people, I could actually get onto my off season.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you want to talk about first? Because we got Joe Barry or the Bucks interim coaches 1-0. That's exciting.
Well, let's get into first things first. I just get back from San Francisco, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, our own news department in Madison's sending me texts like they just fired Adrian Griffin. Like what? Now, right. There's some things along the way where I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. But no. To fire this guy that they had this great big reception for when they first hired him, and I thought I misunderstood the mission. I thought the mission was, by the time we get to the playoffs, this guy will be a good coach. We'll have things settled. But no, for John Horst and for the Bucks and probably the owners, we got to work on defense. Hey, we got to do this. We got to do that. And there are things there that I saw that I thought that doesn't sound right. So, when we met Adrian Griffin, and I had not ever met him before, I briefly remember him as a player and who also finished with the Bucks for a little bit and became a player coach back then. He went from transition from player to coach. Was it
really?
I think, or something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
He spent a year with the Bucks.
I remember him being on the team. I don't remember. That's pretty cool. That's pretty rare, too.
Yeah. It was a great up. That's kind of where I believe he told me he started his coaching career. That, coaches, when they walk in the room, they make everybody sit up straight. The hair on the back of your neck goes up. It's like, okay, here's Mr. Badass. And they make jokes. They sort of cut people down. That's the way that they let you know that they know you, that they're paying attention, all that. And, Adrian Griffin's a big teddy bear. And now I remember Wes Edens, the owner, talking about one of the meetings he had with Wes and just being Adrian and just how impressed they were and how he would draw plays, offensive plays. But actually, Griffin was supposed to be more of a defensive guy. And yet, and I don't understand why John Horst, the GM, had a press conference yesterday afternoon. And he said, but then we added, Damian Lillard, and the timetable here sort of changed. And I don't get that. I don't get that at all. To me, it's a blemish PR move, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, do you think, Mike, it was like one of those situations where he wanted the players to like him, so he was one of the guys, and the owners didn't like that? Or because you're right, I feel like there's something else at play here. You don't get fired for a record like that.
you know, they had this game, was it against the Cavaliers, where they jumped out to a 22-2 lead. Giannis was sitting out the night because he had a bad shoulder. It was like a week and a half ago. And Cleveland jumped out 22-2 in the first 6 minutes. And they just ended up drilling him. The final score, they lost by 40 points, 135-95. And then I thought, okay, finally, we're going to see some temper from the head coach. And he came, all he did was say, you know, we can't play like that. I mean, we're a better team than that. We can't play like that. And not that, you know, maybe he can be yelling at the guys in the locker room and be more temperate in front of the media, but that you've got to be the same leader whether you're in front of the microphones or in front of the players.
Right.
You know, and that should have been a night he was throwing stuff around. You know, Boston came to town, and Joe, it's a Mazzulla, I can't remember his first name, the manager of the Celtics, they had a bad night too. Now, they'd played a game that went into overtime the night before, so maybe these guys were a little gassed, but this was a game that the Bucks fans at Fiserv Forum were really excited because they're going to play the number one team in the Eastern Conference right now, and this could be a precursor to postseason play and all that.
Yeah.
And the Celtics were down by 20 or 30 at halftime. And so that head coach from the Celtics, he benched all his guys, including Drew Holiday, and said, forget it. You guys stink tonight. I'm not going to watch any more of this. We're going to empty the bench, let our young players say, and I want you to watch the second half and just think about what you did here tonight. I mean, he made some kind of a statement like that with the guys, whether he's just deciding we're never going to reach this game, I don't want a guy to get injured now in a useless game, or if it was also more to send a message. And it was just like another day for Griffin. That was probably the last straw. I did not know this until after he was fired, that when they were struggling or they really wanted so bad to win that in-season tournament that they played in Las Vegas,
right, yeah,
they brought in Doc Griffin then as a consultant.
No kidding. So he must have rubbed them the right way, so to speak. I mean,
Doc Rivers?
Oh, Doc Rivers. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. They brought Doc Rivers in to help Griffin, you know, consult the team.
Oh,
like, I don't know about that. That's a little bit of a red flag. And now Doc Griffin.
Now they're doing it again. Yeah.
Got the job, right? Replacing him.
So, oh, man.
And my best story about Adrian Griffin and what he got himself into with the Bucks was, you know, they talked to certain coaches. There's some guys like Kelvin Sampson, veteran coach. He didn't want the job. And a couple of other coaches I found out that landed with other NBA teams, they weren't interested in the offer in Milwaukee for whatever reason. And then there Nick Nurse was a guy that was out there. He ended up going to another team. But Giannis didn't like him. Giannis got a chance to talk to some of these final candidates, these top three candidates. And Giannis told them, though, he liked Adrian Griffin. He thought that that would be a match. So that had some influence in this. But for my money, it's like, how did you not see, in talking to Adrian Griffin, at least in three or four interviews, that this is a great guy, he's an assistant coach, he's not the badass head coach that you're going to need. And the guy you're going to need is going to have to deal with Giannis and Damian Lillard, who I think are both great players, great guys, but there are egos involved in the NBA. And you've got to be really smart to convince those guys how they're supposed to, you know, run their defense, run their offense, run their plays. And you've got to manage those things. Middleton as well.
Yeah.
So we're at this incredible reception that they threw because it was the dawning, it was a new era. It was like June 5th of last summer. And one of the PR guys was really nice to me to say, oh, yeah, we know that you guys got a bunch of Bucks affiliates. Yeah, here, you can talk to Adrian for a couple of minutes. And I said, so let me ask you, how'd you find out you got the job? And Adrian looked to one of the PR guys and says, can I tell this? And he nodded like, okay. He says, yeah. He said, you know, I'd met with the Bucks on Tuesday and Wednesday. We took Thursday off. My agent called me Friday morning and said, the Bucks want to see you again. Get in there now. You know, put your best suit on. I think we're at the one-yard line. Don't blow this, all right? And so he goes in, and he goes into the meeting. It's in Wes Edens, the owner, along there with Jimmy Haslam, you know, going to be a new owner there,
right?
And John Horst, the GM, a couple other people. And Wes is just sitting there looking at his phone. And they're just making conversation, like, okay, well, you know, what's this about? What's going on? Finally, Wes looks at his phone and goes, oh, well, if Woj says it's true, it must be true. And he turns his phone around and it reaches across the desk and shows Adrian Griffin, and it says, Bucks hire Adrian Griffin as new head coach. And that's how they told him he had the job. I think that's creepy.
It's really strange. It's like they don't know what's going on. The ownership almost.
No. Do you see, Pete? They thought, let's have a little fun. We'll call Woj. We'll tell him Adrian's got the job. We'll wait for him to post it. And when they post it, we'll have him read, you know, on Twitter that he got the job.
That is like low level. You're right. Creepy. It's like a bad candid camera joke.
This guy is 49 years old. He was a longtime player. Longtime assistant. This is an important moment in his life, and rather than just tell him face to face, you know, like a man shake hands, it's like, oh, let's have some fun. Let's show off that, you know, we're in cahoots with ESPN, and you know, we're letting them know what the news is before you even tell the guy who's got the job.
Oh,
and that's the same group that fired that guy 43 games later.
Yeah, I guess now it kind of makes not make sense. But where's the blemish? Like you said, it's just strange. Mike Clemens is my guest right now. We're talking about the Bucks. You mentioned Giannis and Damian Lillard. Some good news comes out of this with the All-Star nods. That's pretty cool. It's got to make Milwaukee proud in light of the bad.
Yeah,
news.
Both Giannis and Dame are going to be are named starters. For their side of the All-Star game. So yeah, that's to be expected, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not a huge surprise there, but Mike. So Joe Barry got fired. This is not a huge surprise. I'm not saying like I kind of feel like, I mean, Packer fans can be tough, you know, like they expect to win. But was he as bad as people said? It seemed like he kind of had a good run down at the end of the year there. Are you surprised by the firing or not?
What I know about Barry is this. Is that I have to think that part of the change this thing was that, you know, Matt LaFleur also got feedback from players.
Yeah.
Joe is a good guy. He's actually, he travels the world. He, you know, knows the nicer things in life. Very proper. Tries to be as pleasant and positive a guy as he can. But there's something that's a little, well, you know the series MASH, right?
With sure.
Hawkeye Pierce and those, right?
Yeah.
Remember Major Frank Burns?
Yeah.
That's Joe. You know, he knows everything, and he has to brag a little bit, so he gets a little attention. You know, well, I did this, well, I did that, and you know, that's kind of, and that wears on players. You got to spend 4 hours a day with this guy. Like
right.
One of his last press conferences, we were talking about certain things about the 49ers offense and how good the receivers are, and he says, "Yeah, one of the things we've got to watch out for with this group, though, is Yak." And you know, that means that's a term that we use called for yards after the catch.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at each other like the youngest guy in here has covered the NFL for 15 years. Yeah, Joe, we know what the hell the Yak means. You know, he talked like he was talking to, you know, a group touring the stadium, not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he does stuff like that. And, you know, I said to somebody, did you catch that? And because guys were rolling their eyes. And he says, can you imagine being in a meeting with that guy for 4 hours? No.
That's hilarious. I love the Frank Burns comparison. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Mike? I want to ask
sure.
you about, one more thing. And then wondering if you've seen anything good or if you have an opinion on the Oscars. Mike Clemens is with us. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. And it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
This is Don Rosen. You know, it's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in the Racine and surrounding areas every morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
What sitcom would you want to live in if you could? What world do you want to crawl into? What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. And you can reach us at our new phone number, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. Conrad's mom weighed in. I was waiting for that. I was starting to get worried, Conrad. She wants to live in Happy Days, and she says you and Conrad could be on WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah, we'll throw some turkeys out of a helicopter. From the 608, Rico says, three is company. Ritter was at his best in Sling Blade and Bad Santa. I actually had to Google Sling Blade during the break because I forgot he was in that. Great text, Rico. Mike Clemens wants to live in the Larry Sanders Show, and I don't blame him. Mike,
some days I think I already do, you know what I'm saying?
You know the world well. I have one more sports question I want to ask you. I just want to get your opinion before we move on. I'd love to know what you're watching and if you have an Oscars take. But Brock Purdy, this guy, the San Francisco 49ers just bug me because they spent the farm on Trey Lance and Christian McCaffrey. What did they give, 5-6 first-round picks for both of them? Christian McCaffrey was worth it. Lance was a bust. They have no first-round picks, and they back into this last guy in the draft, Brock Purdy. Is he just surrounded by great talent, or is he a great talent?
No, he's a great talent. He's amazing. Jeez. And some of the Pro Football Focus numbers at the end of the season say that in, you know, various instances and, you know, downs and distance and whatnot, he's sometimes the most accurate passer in the NFL. He's also got some pretty darn good receivers,
yeah,
as well, some great targets.
And a good tight end.
And
yeah,
a good offensive line, you know, led by Trent Williams out there at tackle. But, no, and, you know, I mean, he's a kid. He's still learning as well. Played half a season last year until he had the arm injury against the Eagles. Made an amazing recovery. To get back in and be ready by September with the surgery he had to have on his arm, is amazing in itself, but he's calm and cool in the pocket. And, you know, when he threw that first ball, was the maybe end of the first quarter that Darnell Savage almost intercepted Saturday night out in Santa Clara, I think he dialed it back. And that's what the 49ers, you know, reporters thought as well. It's like, oh, this ain't the same Brock, man. He's being tentative. He was. And he even admitted that to a certain extent in his post-game interview as well. Plus, dealing with the rain and everything else. Basically, he kind of went into his shell and said, oh, God, I don't want to throw this game away.
Right.
And they felt like, wow, the Packers are fast. They're coming. And this could be a shootout tonight, and I don't want to give them 7 points. But it wasn't until he kind of got down to the end of the game where he just started slinging. He made some tremendous throws on there. So did Jordan Love.
Yeah.
The touchdown throw to Tucker Kraft as they were going from right to left on your TV screen down there near the end zone. I mean, it was just amazing. He threw this ball near the goal line that was low and away with such zip on it. Kraft able to just, you know, catch it both with his both hands, his palms up, bring it in and take two steps and go in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a big time throw. Big
Absolutely. Time throw. No. All right. Well, I just feel like, oh, come on. Really? They got lucky with this guy. I mean, they obviously knew what they were doing, the scouting department, whatever, but it just doesn't seem fair that they back into another potential franchise quarterback. Mike, as much as I love talking sports with you, I've learned that I really enjoy listening to you talk about what you're watching. Is there something you could recommend? A movie, TV? Have you been following the Oscar nominations at all?
No, I know they came out. I saw the actress for Barbie didn't get in, but
yeah.
Ryan Gosling did, so that's interesting.
That was...
No, I haven't actually seen the whole list yet because I've been traveling.
Yeah,
and then going back and forth for these press conferences and whatnot. So now I've got to turn around, see what else is going to be happening with the Bucks and with the Packers and their front office changes. But then I leave for the Super Bowl for 10 days next week.
Oh, nice.
So I haven't really had a lot of time to watch shows. It's just I did tell you on New Year's Day, I saw a movie to me is kind of a sleeper, and that's this film called Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. I think you did mention that last time.
Adam Driver.
Really good.
And Penelope Cruz is amazing in it. She plays, like a first wife who goes from crazy lady to, the smartest person in the cast.
Yeah.
Back to crazy lady. She's really good. I don't know if she got nominated or not. Aaron Rodgers' old girlfriend, Shailene Woodley, is in this movie as well. I thought she was okay. But it's about Enzo Ferrari.
Right.
And the Ferrari company back in the 50s. And how it nearly went bankrupt. And then the epilogue tells you how it now became the billion-dollar company that it is international today. So it's a really, really well-shot film in Italy. Adam Driver is just outstanding in it, so I highly recommend that. I think anybody listening is going to enjoy that. I saw Maestro
Brad Cooper.
Bradley
I saw that too.
Playing Leonard Bernstein. And Sarah Silverman, the comedian, she's incredible. She plays Lenny's sister. Just outstanding.
Yeah,
much of that is an outstanding film.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. I did like it a lot, and I was surprised to see Sarah Silverman. Interesting career. Like, she's a very funny comedian. And she does turn up in movies occasionally, but I was like, whoa, I hadn't seen her in a while.
Here's something I saw on the plane. Maybe some people have seen it already. It's probably been out there for a while. I watched a thing called Being Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, nice.
It's a two-hour biography that her ex-husband, Grant Tinker, produced, in her honor and tells
right.
her story. That's really interesting.
She's had a very interesting life. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, for the literal icon she was in television and for women and all those kinds of things, Being Mary Tyler Moore, I thought was a really interesting 90-minute documentary. Really well produced.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the tip, Mike, and thanks for the news, as always, about the Packers and the Bucks. We really appreciate it. Have a great night, buddy. I hope we get to do it again soon.
Thanks, Pete.
You
appreciate
got it.
It. Thank
Safe
you,
travels. Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Clemens. In just a few minutes, my guest will be Tim Sowers. He's going to tell us all we need to know about what's coming up at the Overture Center in Madison. If you're looking for a getaway and a fun show to see, we're going to read more of your text too. What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. If you could live in a sitcom, what would it be? And our new phone number is 844-967-2789. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show. On Friday, Todd continues his winter tour around Wisconsin, and we are joined by Peter Rabine of E-Bombs World. Join us noon to 2.
WRJN is pleased to welcome CCM pop star Lauren Daigle to the State Fair main stage on Friday, August 9th. Lauren's soulful music has amassed a billion worldwide streams and sold out headline shows around the world. She'll perform hits like You Say, Rescue, and Thank God I Do. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at wistatefair.com. And all next week, Don Rosen has your chance to win a pair between 6 and 8 a.m. on WRJN. Thank God I do.
WRJN. Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.